Shalom, good morning. Today we begin Perek Yudhas, which is the Midas HaChasidus, which again is going to be a very interesting chapter from which we're going to be able to glean a lot. So writes the Ramchal. Ramchal says, Midas HaChasidus, Tzrichehi Be'emes Lebeir Godel. It's fine. Just it's recorded like this. So Midas HaChasidus requires incredible explanation. Ki minhagim rabim udrachim rabim ovrim bein rabim b'nei adam shim chasidus ve'eino ela galmi chasidus b'li toar u'b'li tzura u'b'li tikun. I will say now that Ramchal here says something very interesting. He says that there are many things that people do in the name of chasidus, but it's not really chasidus, right? Again, and by the way, he's talking about the idea that people try to find the pathway to piety in all different types of ways, and very often, they just totally miss the mark. V'nim shach zeh, mechasron ha'iyun v'askola ha'amitis, asher l'bali ha'amidos ha'im. And the truth is, the reason this comes about is simply because these well-meaning individuals are just simply missing an understanding. They just don't understand what the true midah of chasidus is. Ki lo tarchu v'lo nisyagu l'da'as es derech Hashem, b'yediyah berura v'yishara. Because they did not try, they did not toil, they did not push themselves to try to understand the true derech Hashem. Ela, hischastu v'holchu b'mashin es damin lahem, but rather they chose instead to try to become pious with the first opportunities that came to them, lufi hasvara harishona, just according to their basic logic, v'lo he'emiku b'advarim, v'lo shaklu osam b'moz ne'achachma, and they did not delve deeply into the matter, and they did not weigh it on the scale of wisdom. So what Ramchal is saying over here is that, you know, sometimes a person wants to become a pious individual, so a person, it's not just enough to go ahead and simply seize upon the opportunities that immediately present themselves, but rather a person really has to think through whether or not a particular act is actually going to lead one to a pious result. A person has to weigh his actions. Vihine, I mean, if you're in the red edition on page Kuf Ayin Ba, Vihine, Eila hiv ishu esrecha chasidus be'enei hamon ha'anashin, umin ha'maskilim imahem. Listen to this. The problem is that these individuals who are acting without really thinking beforehand ultimately kind of spoil chasidus for everyone else. Because people look at what sometimes appears to be extreme behaviors and they say, well, if that's chasidus, right? If that's what it means to be a pious individual, then no thank you. I don't have any interest in that. Ba'asher kevar yachshivu sha'chasidus taloi b'divrei hevel. O dvarim neged hasechal v'adeh nechona. Because sometimes we see people engaging in activities that seem to be a bit extreme, and perhaps even worse, seem to be a bit counterintuitive, seem to really lack proper sechal and proper deah. So remember again, if a person says, hey, I'm a chassid, and what I'm doing is chassidus, I'm engaging in pious behavior, and I say, okay, well, if that's piety, it looks a little bit strange to me, it looks a little bit weird to me, I don't have any interest in that. And the problem is it turns other people off from the path of chasidus. I know I don't have to say it, but I'll say it anyway. You understand, when he thinks about chasidus, he's not talking about like chasidim. Chasidim also could be chasidim. But he's talking about, again, the midah of chasidus, not the movement of chasidus. The ya'aminu heyos kola chasidus, Talui rak ba'amiras bakoshos rabos, viduyim gidolim, ubilechios, vishtachavayos gidolos, ubasigufim hazorim, shiyamis bohem ha'odom esatzmo. You see, some people think that chasidus, that piety, is all about saying Tehillim all the time, constantly confessing all of your sins, crying, prostrating yourself, and sigufim hazorim. Sigufim hazorim refers to literally afflicting oneself in a way, shiyamis bohema adam esatzmo, like the entire essence of chasidus is to beat yourself up. That's what some people think. Ketvilo sakerach, like they're going to the mikvah, ultimately in icy waters, vashaleg or in the snow, ukiyotzi bedvarim ha'ela, and other things like this, these extreme types of almost like ascetic, punishing types of behaviors. And he writes, "V'hinei lo yadu, Now, the truth is, even though some of these things may be appropriate for Baalei Tshuva, right, for individuals, so sometimes a person who is doing Tshuva does need to engage in certain extreme behaviors. That is true. And some of these behaviors are required for Prushim. Prushim, also, we will see, are people who maintain just a much greater heightened level of ascetic behavior. There are people like this, and they are supposed to behave in certain ways, but nevertheless, hine lo al eila nosad hachasidus klal. But he says it's important to know this is not what the midah of chasidus is built on. I will say in general, no part in Judaism is built on extreme behavior. Everything that we have is in moderation. Everything that we have is the middle path. Now again, people could exploit the system either way, right? A person can go out and become too extreme, or a person could become, I don't know, what's the opposite of extreme? Liberal? Like too liberal? Okay. Oh, you're trying to understand. Yeah, the opposite. He says, "Im tov shem in hagim ha'ele hu roi le'islavos ala chasidus. Ach, metzias ha'chasidus atzmo, hu davar amok ma'od l'havino ha'machrabos." This is a very beautiful piece. He says, okay, so what is chasidus? So what is this attribute? What is this midah? So look what he writes. He says, "V'humi yusad ayisodos chachma rabba v'tikon hamaisa b'tachlis." You know what chasidus is? Chasidus is something, first of all, that is built on the pillars of wisdom, and ultimately v'tikon hamaisa b'tachlis, and requires a tikkun, a almost purification of actions in a practical fashion. Asher ro'i, we'll explain what these mean. Asher ro'i l'chol chacham lev, lirdof acharav, that every person who is wise of heart would want to run after this midah. Ki rak l'chachamim l'hasigo be'emes. But yet it's only the wise who ultimately are able to capture it. V'chin amru zichron l'vracha, v'lo am ha'aretz chasid. We'll say this is what the mission of us means when it says, an am ha'aretz. Right? An ignorant person can't be a chassid. So now we understand that. Why is that? Because an ignorant person, interestingly enough, will always, for some reason, will always associate piety with ascetic, extreme, like self-punishing behavior. And by the way, you see this, it's not just true, you see this in all religions, how for some reason, people think that the highest level of piety is like where a person is just punishing themselves and beating themselves up and is absolutely miserable every single day. Simcha says, the beauty of Yiddishkeit and the beauty of Judaism in general is that that's never the case. But this is why an Am Ha'aretz, someone who's not knowledgeable, will never become a chassid. Unevar ata inyan zala seder. Okay, so now that we've established what chassidus is not, let's spend a little bit of time trying to figure out what chassidus is. Hine shorash ha'chassidus, humash amru zechron levracha. So what is chassidus? Ashrei adam sha'amalo batorah. So what is chasidus? Listen to how beautiful this is. Praiseworthy is the person who is omel batara. So I will say, first of all, this is an incredible yisod. If you notice, the Gemara doesn't say praiseworthy is the person who learns Torah. Rather, what does it say? Praiseworthy is the person ultimately who is omel. I will say, what does omel mean? Omel means toil. I remember that when I was in yeshiva, so one of the first Musar Shmuzim we had, when he said on Thursday night, it's like the first week in yeshiva, was the Mashgiach got up and he said the following. He said, if you think that you're going to become great in Torah with your feet up on the couch, Gemara in one hand and your Coke in the other hand, he said, you're absolutely mistaken. You could amass a great amount of knowledge, but you'll never become a Talmud Chacham like that. Talmud Chacham requires amelos. And amelos is not feet up on the couch and the coconut. That might be nice. I mean, every once in a while, it's nice to relax, for sure. But to become a Talmud Chacham, to really acquire Torah, you have to push yourself. Pushing yourself means dafka, coming to learn at times that are inconvenient, as we know. Right? Times that ultimately, again, are times that I don't want to be learning. It means carving out time when there is no other time. Sometimes it means taking time from other things to be able to go ahead and grow spiritually. That's what it means. Ashrei adam sha'amalo b'torah. Praiseworthy is the person who has to work, who toils in Torah. Va'osei nachas ruach liyotzro. And he gives nachas ruach which literally means he gives rest to the spirit of the one who created him. But really what this means is nachos, right? He gives benefit, he gives pleasure, he gives joy, he gives pride to his creator. Now, also listen to how beautiful this is. V'ha'inyonu, so what does this mean? First of all, so I understand Ashri Adam Shama Lo BaTorah. That part I get. I understand, we could all understand what it means to be Amal in Torah. But what does it mean to give nachas ruach? To give nachas, to give pride, to give literally rest of spirit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to how beautiful this is. V'ha'inyonu, ki hine ha'mitzvos ha'mutalos al Yisrael, kvar yadua osein, v'chovasan yadua ad heichan himagas. We'll say the great part about Judaism is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spells out his expectations of us, right? There's no like, you know, sometimes this happens, sometimes in relationships, where one party in the relationship expects A, but the problem is what? They don't communicate that to the other person, but they expect the other person to know what it is that they want. I'm not referring to anything specific here, right? But just, you know, it's, you know, it never happens. It never happens. What does that mean? Right? You should know what I want, right? You should know what I want. Sometimes people hear that phrase. So we'll say the beautiful part in Judaism is that the Ribono Shel Olam is explicit in his expectations of us, right? Meaning there's a Torah. Torah spells out 613 verses. They're not easy. They're not easy, that's for sure. But at least the expectations are known. He says, Amnam, listen to beautiful. Amnam, Misha Oyves Haboris Baruch Shmo Ava Amitis. But if somebody really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yishtadal V'yechavein Liftor Atzmo, B'mashe Kvar Meforsam Minachova Asher Al Yisrael Bechlal, so we'll say, if somebody really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's not just going to do for God that which is explicitly articulated. He's not just going to get by in the relationship with that which is explicitly required from an obligatory perspective, from the obligatory perspective that is upon all Jewish people. Elo, yikra lo, kimo sheyikra el bein ohev aviv. But rather, what will he do? He will conduct himself just like a son who loves his father. What happens with a son who loves his father? She'ilu yigala aveves dato gilui ma'at, shuchafetz bedavar min advarim. If a son loves his father, so when the father makes his desire known in a small way, right, that he likes a certain thing, kvar yarbe habein badavar hahu, ube ma'asahu kol ma'ashi yucha. So I'll give you a simple thing. If I know my father loves nature, so, okay, very nice. So, you know, if we're walking together, hey, Dad, you know, look at that sunset, it's beautiful. But if I know he really loves nature, so then what happens? So it happens to be, I know that this time of year is beautiful sunsets in Florida, for argument's sake. So if I have the means, I'll go ahead and I'll say, you know what, Dad, I know you love nature, I'm going to do this for you. Now, do I have an obligation to do that? Of course not. But at the same time, I love my father, and if I know that there's something that he loves, it's not just that I'm going to get by with my basic minimal obligations for honoring him, and I'm just going to avoid disrespecting him. Instead, what I'm going to do is try to figure out how can I express my love to him even in ways for which I am not obligated. How can I express my love to him even in ways which are not obligatory, but yet, because I love him so much, I want to express that love to him. I'm sorry?
You look for opportunities.
The afa pishlo amru aviv elapam achas ubechati dibur. And the truth is, you know, it's not like my father ever said to me, oh, I'd love to see the sunsets in Florida in July, right? But rather, again, it just happens to be he mentioned to me his love of nature, right? In passing, it just was something that was just stated, just in passing. Nevertheless, hine dai lo osa bin lahavin hechan daito shel aviv nota. But now that my father said that little statement, I know what he's thinking. So now I know where he's holding. La'asos lo gam, eis asher lo amar lo beferish. So now if I love my father, so what I want to do is, now that he expressed something that he loves, he expressed something that's special to him, If I can somehow give that to him, is it required of me? Absolutely not. Is it obligatory? Absolutely not. But now that I know that there's an opportunity for me to give him something that he will appreciate, that he will love, and it'll be a greater expression of my love, of course I'm going to do it, if I can. Since I know that this thing will give nachas ruach to my father, and therefore again, I'm not going to wait for my father to mention it again or to say it more explicitly. We'll say, let's just read these lines, then we'll stop. We'll say, this we see with our own eyes. This happens within every relationship. Between a husband and wife, a father and a son. This is even better expressed in a marriage. That's the real truth. If I know that my wife enjoys something, there's something that gives my wife happiness. So there are two paths you could take. You can wait until she asks. I do wait until she asks a first time. A second time, right? A third time. You could wait, and the truth is, it's fine. And then when you give it, of course, there'll be incredible gratitude. Or a person could be lost in all. A person could say, you know what? I love my wife so much that if there's something that I can give her that'll make her happy, if there's something I could do that'll provide, I know will provide her happiness, she doesn't need to ask me for it. That's the real truth. I want to give it to her because I love her, I care about her, and therefore, again, it's a privilege to be able to give it to her. So the Ramchal says over here, Klalo shel davar, bein mi she'ava b'neim aza b'emes, shelo yomar lo nitztavesi yoser, tai li b'mashe nitztavesi b'feirush, ela mimashe nitztave yodun al das ha-metzave, v'yishtada la'asos lo mashe yucha lodun shielo l'nacha. So it says Ramchal, you could tell a lot about a relationship based on how people give to one another. So if somebody just gives the basics, this is what I have to give in my marriage, this is what I have to give to my spouse, this is what I have to give to my parents. So if I get by with just the basic requirements, this is, right, after all, I'm living within the confines of Shalom Bayis, I'm living within the confines of normative marital behavior, I'm a good guy, I'm a good husband, fine. So that's one type of marriage. Or a person could just give and give and give because they have the opportunity to do so and because they know that what they give will be so greatly appreciated by the other. That's what it means to give nachas ruach to someone with whom you are in a relationship. So we'll stop over here for today, but you understand, of course, that where he's going to go with this. This is going to be the midah of chasidus. You see, you could be a very good Jew, and how you become a good Jew? Do what God asks you. God gives you 613 mitzvos, do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you. Done, you're a good Jew. What does it mean to be a chassid? To be a chassid means the mitzvos are like a roadmap. The mitzvos tell us what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. The chassid says, now that I know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, how do I find additional ways to give him that which he loves? Not because I'm obligated to, not because I have to, but because I love the Ribono Shel Olam so much that I want to. All right, we'll stop over here. Meretz Hashem, we'll pick up again in Perek Yud Ches tomorrow.